Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jason Camras is the superintendent of schools in the city of Richmond, and he joins us this morning to talk about the stance that he and his administration are taking as they get ready for the fall. And good morning to you. I really always sincerely appreciate when you come on, because you know it's not necessarily the friendliest audience. So thank you for coming on and talking to me.
My pleasure. Absolutely.
Well, tell me, I won't put words in your mouth. Tell me what the plan is. Do you all start before Labor Day or after Day?
After Labor Day. We start after Labor Day, September 8th, and we will be 100% virtual.
Okay.
And so we have put out our plan for families and for teachers, outlining how everything is going to work. But we are gearing up.
Now, this is kind of a little bit of a rewind, but tell me again what the key issues were for you to push to go all virtual and not have a hybrid, some people in person or a rotating schedule or something like that.
Sure. And it was a really tough decision, probably one of the hardest in my 25 years in public education. You know, on the one hand, you have the health and safety of our kids and our staff. On the other hand, you have the real challenge that our families are facing without having in-person school. And we know, particularly for families that have, everybody's working, and particularly jobs that don't allow for virtual work, childcare becomes a real issue. But look, at the end of the day, given our health and safety concerns, we decided that going 100% virtual was the right step. We're seeing around the country places that have opened up and are within hours or days going back into quarantine. So my heart goes out to school divisions out there that are grappling with the in-person. I know everyone's trying to do the best that they can, but ultimately we felt this was the right move for Richmond.
Do most of your students, when you look at the demographics, do they have access to the internet? I don't know whether you all provide them with a computer. I've certainly heard about those programs in the counties, but how effective will it be for the rank and file student body to engage with the teachers?
So over the course of the spring and the summer, we actually gave out a ton of computers and internet Wi-Fi hotspots. So just to be concrete, we have about 25,000 students. And from March through June, say, we gave out about 16,000 laptops and about 6,000 Wi-Fi hotspots. So really to anybody who needed one. In fact, we're going further than that. We're going to give a RPS-issued device to every family for a couple of reasons. One, having everybody on our devices makes it easier for us to push out software updates, and also makes it easier to train teachers and have all the kids on the same interface. It's also really important because our devices have internet security software, which is critical when you've got a lot of kids online, and sadly there are all kinds of unsavory folks out there on the internet, and so we want to do everything we can to protect our kids.
And that's smart. If I was a 10th grader in Richmond Public Schools, do you take attendance at the beginning of the day? Do you kind of have instant checks like you're still there? You know, hit a button and tell me that you're still there. How do you make sure that these kids don't check out or go back to bed and just leave the camera on or leave the computer up? Cardboard cutout in front of the camera.
Well, look, we will be taking attendance. And as I shared previously at our school board meeting, but I'll share it again on the news today. Look, this is real school. It's virtual, but it's school, which means attendance is required and assignments will be graded and report cards and transcripts will go out. And that is the expectation. Now, of course, things will be a little bit different given the virtual environment. And it's also important for folks to understand your 10th grade biology class doesn't mean you're going to be sitting on the computer for all 90 minutes of that class. There's some portion of it that will be, but then there's going to be independent work, time off the computer. And we also know that there will be things that come up. A computer is going to break and internet's going to go out. And so we have policies in place to allow us to take attendance in some creative ways in those situations. But the bottom line is the expectations are the same.
And is there an end date to this current plan or a reevaluation date to the current plan?
So the plan goes through the first semester. So if everything went as is currently planned, we would be back in person on February 8th. That's the start of the second semester. Now, if the numbers improve dramatically and the vaccine becomes broadly available well before then I think we would look at coming back. I don't anticipate that, but certainly that's a possibility. And on the flip side, if things don't look good come February 8th, and we still have significant concerns, the board could well decide to maintain the virtual environment for some additional time. But we'll keep looking at the data, keep track of all the latest information.
Well, in all fairness to you and to anybody who runs a school system and has this obligation, I mean, some of us who are critical act like this is an easy thing. It's not. I mean, it's a tough decision to make, and you're going to make somebody mad either way. So you've made the decision. I want the best for the kids in your school district, and I know you do too. So I'm hopeful that it will be successful. Do you have a minute for me to ask you kind of a controversial question? And I was critical of
sure.
you. I'm assuming you don't listen to the show every morning, but I was kind of critical of you without you on the air. And since you're here, I want to show you the respect of giving you a chance to respond to my criticism.
Sure, sure. You've
got it. Okay. So the police officers in the school, am I
yeah.
reading these stories correctly that you have recommended that the cops be removed from the schools, the resource officers come out?
I have not made any formal recommendations yet. I said that I would be doing so, but we're still engaged in a process of listening to students, to teachers, to families. I had the opportunity to speak to the leadership of the SRO unit at RPD. We're still in the middle of our process to get feedback on that. And like ultimately, this is a question that the school board will decide.
Are you leaning one way or the other? Because
to be honest with you, I
was critical saying that I thought you were pulling them out. So if that's not correct,
no.
That is how
I have been leaning. Absolutely.
Okay.
So that is a fair criticism.
Okay.
Let me try to articulate.
Yeah.
Like I know a lot of the SROs in our schools, and I think they're fantastic people. I think they do really good work. For me, what I'm struggling with is the institution of policing in our schools and the effect it has on our kids. And when I've spoken to many of them, they feel criminalized by having police and lots of other things in place that really deeply affects them for the long term. Now, I completely understand the other perspective on this. Look, it's a tough question. I think very reasonable and thoughtful people can disagree on this one.
One of the reasons that they originally played, I think it was in the 80s, early 90s, that the move was to get these officers in the schools was to change the perception. I mean, presumably you weren't bringing Mr. Badass in who was going to beat the kids in the hallway, but somebody who would befriend the students, the good students, and help change the antagonistic attitude that did exist in some communities between police officers and students. Has that failed? Do you think that that's been a washout?
No, I do think they have made a number of positive contributions. I just, again, from talking to a number of students, even though they have made those positive contributions, a lot of kids just feel when they're at school like they are in essence, jail by having folks with guns and badges and so on. I do want to reiterate that I think very highly of these officers. They are good people who care about kids. For me, it's about...
So they're not sending the dregs or jerks to the schools, and you've suddenly realized, wait a minute, I thought I was getting Officer Smiley, and instead I got somebody who's horrible.
These are good people, and they signed up. You don't get assigned to school. You have to volunteer within RPD and go through training. So again, for me, that's not what it's about. It's about, again, the institution, the psychological effect that it has on our kids. But look, we're still in the middle of the process. We're still gathering feedback, and we'll ultimately have a robust discussion at the school board and see where things fall.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you talking about it. I mean, I'm concerned about the discipline issue that I hear about pretty regularly from, quite frankly, from a few of my friends who are teachers in your school system, who feel threatened on a regular basis by their students and are, having a hard time kind of keeping that authoritarian control, not in a bad way, but just a basic decency way. And they're worried that this sends the wrong... You may have good intentions for the signal you're sending to students, but that the end result may be, hey, it's a free-for-all on the teachers. But you probably heard that from other people. I just felt like, A, I wanted to give you a chance to respond, and B, put in my own two cents for what it's worth.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Jason
Cameras. I appreciate it, and I don't mind anytime you want to come on and talk about controversial stuff. I'm glad to appear.
You were very kind to do that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.